right now on VFN TV, we have an interview with Charles Simpson from one of the leaders in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, speaking specifically about the renewal movement. Also, this sensing that he's having and we're having about the coming explosive harvest is coming. We're talking about how God's going to be raising up pastors. It's very important to be able to have. Also, how the church goes from families to tribes to nations. And today, are we actually making disciples? Are we replicating like God's called us to do? That's right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
We're continuing our interview with Charles Simpson, one of the leaders in the Charismatic Renewal Movement, talking about the renewal movement. Also, we're talking about sensing of the explosive harvest that's about to come, the pastors that are going to be raised up. Maybe you're one of those pastors. In addition, how the church goes from families to tribes to nations. And are we making disciples today? Are we doing what God called us to do? Let's join the interview now.
And then who was it, or you? I don't know if Vince retired or not. He's a friend. He's a historian, and he's written some. In fact, he's the one that got David Moore involved in the book.
Right.
He's the one that told David, you need to write the book.
Okay.
And Vincent, but I don't know many real charismatic historians. Mm-hmm. And it's such a diverse, it's hard to do a timeline with
right.
it. But I would say that that was one of the biggest explosions that I've ever been around.
Can you define the word explosion? Because a lot of people don't understand what you're really talking about.
It's a dynamic that happens that you have no control over.
Right.
The ingredients are there and somebody lights a match and you got an explosion.
And you're in the middle of that
and
going, what do you do, God?
That's right. And it's a wonderful explosion in
right.
some regards, but there's all kinds of debris in it too.
And then they're looking to you and you're in the same explosion. They're going like, what do you think we should do?
Well, once you identify and you get identified, say, as a movement,
mm-hmm. You didn't do that, but other people identified.
Other people did. Once that happens, then anybody associated with the movement
right.
becomes you.
Right.
So, you know, they're not going to make a big deal out of somebody whose name they hardly know that was abusive. Or,
right.
But it's your fault.
Right.
And then people out there will use your name to create their own thing.
Right. And happened with Jesus, happened with Paul.
Sure.
Right.
Yeah. In Acts 19, you have the reference of the seven sons of Sceva saying the name of Jesus that Paul preached.
Right.
And he said, the demon says, Jesus I know, and right. Paul I know, but who are you?
And then they beat the stew out of him.
The seven sons flee naked and wounded.
So it's sort of, I know, I hate that, but you're looking at where they could have started this ministry in Paul's name, under Paul's Jesus, Lord.
Yeah.
And people are watching that take place. Paul won't have anything to do with that.
That's right.
It happens, and then Paul gets identified and says, that's his movement, that's Paul's movement.
Right.
And he's like, that was just what these people did, right?
That happens where, you know, people will use your name for good or bad, and I'm not saying that we never made any mistakes, we certainly did, but they tend to get magnified the further out you go.
Right.
And there are people who never were under any authority that were trying to exercise authority, and that's
right.
not right. And so, you know, and there were some stories. Some were lies. I mean, I could give you a few that were used by some to strike out at us
right.
that the story they told was not a true story. I know the story.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to get some of that. But I tell you, God's never let me run around defending myself.
Right. It's almost like the adversary wins when we start trying to defend what's going
well,
on.
Well, if you don't let God defend you, then you have you're in trouble.
Right.
And the Bible says, I'm trying to remember, it's in Isaiah 50, but he that vindicates me is near me. Mm. And God has to vindicate you. If you have to vindicate yourself, right, then you're in trouble.
Right. Remember David being ran out by Absalom, his own son. And the guy says, you want me to take the guy's head off?
Right,
stone,
right.
Throwing rocks at him. He
right.
said, no, maybe God will see this
right.
and reward me.
Right.
That's a hard revelation to get, though, when you're getting under it.
Oh, it's a natural thing to defend yeah. yourself. My father started a church. I told you about a man threatening to shoot them when they went into water for baptism in Golden Meadow, Louisiana.
The words were, if they you dip that man in water here, we're going to
well,
shoot
Well, anybody
you.
Goes in the water, including my dad, wow. I'll blow him out with a shotgun.
Wow.
Well, Dad did start a church in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, and I remember as a child being there, and I had fond memories of Golden Meadow, Louisiana, mm-hmm. and many years later, I went back and preached in Golden Meadow, Louisiana, but I use that as an illustration as to how times changed. But when Dad was fired from that church, a Baptist church in Golden Meadows.
That he started?
For praying for the sick, a church he started. His life was threatened, but for praying yeah. for the sick, because the Baptists were nervous about that whole thing.
What if they got healed?
Well, I don't know, but he told me that a friend told him,
right.
Vernon, my dad's name was Vernon, don't defend yourself. Mm. He said, your friends don't need it, and your enemies won't believe it.
Whoa, say it again?
He said, don't defend yourself, your friends won't need it, and your enemies won't believe it.
Ooh, that's so true.
And that's true.
That's so true.
The people that know you, they trust you,
right.
and they look at your faults in a different light.
Right.
The people that don't know you, that believe all that, there's nothing in the world you can say to change their minds. And we're seeing a lot of evidence of that
right.
today.
Right, right. Oh yeah, for sure. So this is happening. People are getting into fellowships. They're getting in, basically they're getting into church families, and they're beginning to live together, eat together. You guys, I believe, are sending out missionaries possibly, and just be in the church. It's happening, but it's like an explosion of growth. So you're like trying to somehow stick it. When you're going down the rapids in the river, you just stick your oar in the water every now and then, try to keep it on track. I'm sure that was probably what it was like. And you get the credit for the whole rapid river. So, but in that, great things are happening. People are finding God. People are finding relationship. People are growing in God. I mean, good things are coming out of that. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, it's a wonderful thing to have somebody tell you, God used you to change my life.
Yes.
And that was happening, where people would come to one of us or all of us and say, you know, I was here, but now I'm here, thank God. Mm-hmm. And there were marriages saved. There mm-hmm. were, I mean, there's no end of testimonies you could
right.
give. Most of them weren't put in books,
right.
and they weren't shouted from the housetops, but they happened.
Isn't it amazing the good things, which are like 98%, 99%, which is God moving, the glory of God, but people focus on, you know, the human frailties, where things happen, like the sons of Stephen. I don't know why that happens, but just amazing. I mean, literally, think about that much impact that the America shifted in a positive light because of what God was doing and you guys were actually a part of. I mean, it's just a powerful thing. It's like a breath of fresh air or a glass of cold water in a desert when, you know, religion's trying to just take everybody down, and all of a sudden the river comes with the Holy Spirit and begins to carry you and gives you a freshness and a newness, and, you know, that's just exciting.
Well, I think the entire charismatic renewal, including full gospel businessmen, what we were doing, any number of parts of the movement was a wonderful thing. And I think that it saved our country for a time. It was a reprieve. I think the Great Awakening was that. I think every revival seems to come at that kind of a time. The Hebrides revival and its impact in Scotland, and every great revival, and the Welsh revival. And I think it's good to study revivals because it gives you some perspective.
Yeah.
And I think America's going to need another one right away. We need to see God move. And I think in some places He is moving, and He's preparing the ground. Perhaps all the political stuff that's going on now will help encourage people to seek God and instead of trying to solve it themselves. But we're due for a visitation from the Lord.
And that's why this is what we're talking about. I believe it's so important because, you know, a lot of times people just need to know the things that God can do. And their faith goes up. Also, they're immediately able to receive. Immediately go, this is God. This has happened three times before in our nation. This is Him moving. You can get in immediately of what God's doing and not end up being the ones that go. I mean, this is, they say this, you have three different things. When God begins to do a new thing, the old thing begins to fight the new thing.
Right.
Then you have the one that I believe resists it and the other one just joins it. You know, it's going on. So you don't want to be the one that resists what God's doing. Hey, we're sorry I had to interrupt this interview. We're going to come right back where we left off after this break. Be sure to comment below. We want to hear your thoughts on what we're talking about. Join us after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight 10 Strategies for Your Success, with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
The difference between God as a concept and God as a living reality is that a concept is something you believe in. You certainly believe in it, but it's like an accessory. It's like a credit card. It's a gym membership. I control it and I shape it to meet my life and my needs, right? So I'm still in control. But God as a living reality is an objective truth to which you mold your life to.
Right.
And that was a big difference. And that set a lot of things in motion, especially understanding a new understanding of the Ten Commandments.
Did you know that Jesus himself said, apart from abiding in him, that we can accomplish nothing? So many people want to be able to do that, but you know what? They don't have a plan to do it. We put together a simple plan for you, and it's at iabide.org. iabide.org. Go there and request your plan today. It is amazing how your life will change when you begin to spend time with Him who created the universe. He's been desiring that you would do that. It's at iabide.org. Request your simple plan today.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I think I remember, you know, William Seymour. His spiritual father opened up a ministry outside his ministry to have deliverance for everybody that came out of Azusa Street. He was right across, his spiritual father, you know, was having deliverance for people that would come out of his ministry.
Right,
Azusa
right.
Street was reaching the world.
Right, right.
You know, I'd like to be the one that goes, okay, God, I got it. This one moment, this is you. And it's, I mean, right now when you're seeing what's happened with Kanye West and soon to be Justin Bieber and other ones, you know, you see people going, this is God. Then you see other people going like, there's no way that can be God. And it's like, but if you understand the spirit of God, you can feel God. You know it's God by your spirit bears witness of what's going on. You can just feel this is God or that's not God. But you can see what God's doing. I remember looking what, you know, Kanye West, he was in Jamaica. And I'm watching this video of him in Jamaica and they're worshiping, the people of Jamaica are worshiping God. And the whole time I'm looking at it going like, what? What? I'm just shaking my head going, what? But I know it's God.
Yeah.
And I watched every second of it because I was like, this is awesome. But it's shifting us out of where we were into a place that we desperately called out for. We just didn't know what we were calling out for because it's going to be so outside the box, you know, when God moves. And I just watched more and more. Like, this is God. This is amazing. And then eventually he brought pastors in that would preach the gospel. Thousands are getting saved. The Bible Society is giving out Bibles. And it just goes, it's just amazing that I just see this explosion about to happen. But I see the church just kind of quiet and, you know, just kind of deluded, I guess you would say, or just distracted, or, I mean, not even involved with the things of God. But yet God's moving. He's beginning to already move. We're starting to see these things begin to pop up, you know, and I think it's just going to be rapid. I think it's going to be huge. But we have to have the wisdom because we're going to have the same situation. How do you deal with explosion of growth of, you know, Rick Joyner says, you know, that 1,000 people a week joining your fellowship, what do you do with that? You know, Bob Jones, over 1 billion souls being saved in this revival. All of us, you know, God's showing me encounters where you're having to ask the question, you know, who feels called to be a pastor? And these people are raising their hands, but they have to be trained up. They have to be somehow, you know, imparted into their lives to be this pastor. And I remember this one situation was where I'm asking the question, I'm in this dream, I ask the question, and these probably everybody's in their 30s or 20s and 30s, young folks. And I said, is anybody here you feel called to be a pastor? And there, some raised their hand high, some raised their hand a little bit, but there was just a diversity that raised their hands. And the next scene was all these people were like in a bunkhouse, laying down on bunks, but it was all made out of ice. It was like an ice bunkhouse. And they were at pastures on ice, if you would. Then all of a sudden, I started, you know, dreams are, I started just stepping out and I was like skating in my shoes. And I put the first step and all of a sudden God just broke my heart. And I began to talk to them about what it's really like to be a pastor and that the brokenness and the pain and that you need what it's going to require of you. And I feel like there's just going to be this, if there's a large harvest, then God's going to call a lot of pastors to raise up to pastor a few and to give their life out on behalf of those people. And I began to see that. So that's going to happen again. So what do you think would be the response to that based on your experience?
You mean to an explosion of growth?
Which requires leadership, which requires pastors.
I don't think that you're going to have professional pastors. I think you're going to have lay pastors or people who are bivocational. And I think that's going to happen more and more. I don't think young people want to be pastors.
Right.
The smart ones. It's one of the hardest jobs in the world, and thousands are bailing out of it because of the expectation, and the culture's going in a different direction. Yeah. But I think that I don't like the word lay pastor. I think pastors will be raised up from among the people over small groups.
Yeah,
you can't pastor 1,000 people.
No.
No way. You can pastor pastors who pastor pastors.
Right, right. Oh, yeah.
But that becomes very remote. Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to see small groups and you're going to see leaders emerge.
Right.
And they'll be biblically oriented people, mm-hmm. spirit oriented people. And if not in this country, I think it will be, but I think it's already everywhere else.
Right. Oh, I hate to interrupt right in the middle of this interview, but we're going to pick right back up where we left off after this break. Don't forget to comment below. We love hearing from you. See you after the break.
We'll be right back.
Can I ask you a question? Are you tired of working harder and harder and seeing less and less of the success that you always dreamed about having? Well, I believe my book, I Will Fight, 10 Strategies for Your Success with its 502 wisdom nuggets can help. I mean, it's time to stop settling for mediocre. No more wallowing in defeat. Let hopelessness go. It's time to see the upside of life and begin winning again. I want to share with you timeless strategies I gathered over a lifetime that are proven, practical, and implementable. They've worked for me, they've worked for others, and I believe they're going to work for you. I want to help as many people as possible achieve success, kingdom success. That's why I want to bless you with my book for free. That's right. I'll cover the cost of the book. You invest in the shipping and handling. I mean, there's nothing to think about. It's free. Claim your book. Don't wait a second longer and discover the breakthrough that's awaiting you.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Yeah, it's happening. It is happening outside. As a matter of fact, China, the Church of China, came to meet with Mike Bickle at the International House of Prayer at the One Thing Conference, the last one they had in 2017. And so you had the American Church meeting with the Church of China, meeting with the Church of Egypt. They all came together, 2018, December. And Mike Bickle realized, I've been fathering a vision, but not fathering a family. And what the church in China understood was how to be family. And so now that they humbled us, I said, listen, we want to learn from you how to be family. And so they committed to step down from the One Thing, walk out a long process of a global shift to families taking place right now. That was the word that came out. And that they're having to learn how to do it. I mean, it's much easier to run an institution. It's much easier to run an organization. But when you're dealing with family, you're dealing with everything. It's not a clean thing. It's a messy thing. Your love's really tested. Your motives are really tested in being there. But that's really where, you know, God wants us to be in the context of family.
Well, families become tribes, and tribes become nations. It's a spiritual father, and to me, the test of a true disciple is that they make disciples. Mm-hmm. And a lot of our, quote, discipleship programs don't produce disciple makers. They produce educated Christians. And I think what you'll see is those who produce disciples that produce disciples will be spiritual fathers like they are in China. Mm-hmm. And they might be the patriarch of a million people.
Exactly, yeah.
And that will happen because they replicate. The Western church does not replicate. Mm-hmm. It gets people to join the church, but the members are not replicating.
Instead of the go-e church.
Well, yeah. Yes, they're spectators.
Right.
And they're good people.
Yeah.
They love it. If the pastor doesn't get it done, they'll fire him and get another one.
Right.
And they want to grow the church.
Right.
They want good programs, mm-hmm. and so forth. And they're not making disciples themselves. Now they're hiring missionaries, and they're doing a lot of wonderful things. I don't want to just be.
They're
negative.
Actually supporting what's happening in Asia and other countries. Who
yes.
are operating in family context of everything that we're not doing here, they're doing there. But some of the missionaries go, shh, don't tell them because they're the ones supporting us doing this over here.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
That has gone on. Baptists had a big kerfuffle several years ago because they passed a vote that they wouldn't support a missionary that spoke in tongues.
Wow.
And it was argued against, but they did it anyway. Now I think that's been rescinded.
Okay.
So that's a case of incongruency where you've got a group of people supporting another group of people who are different than the people that's supporting
right.
them, and what do you do about it?
Right. Yeah.
But I I think the family idea where you're producing sons and daughters and they're reproducing, I think that's what happened in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And that's the model that Christ showed us.
But that's when, you know, you guys were doing that and are doing it, you're doing it now, but that you were doing it and people looked at it from afar and they began to identify it and put names on it when it's nothing but a biblical structure manifestation of a vine growing naturally and things happening and responding to what God does. So you're talking about this. I know, for example, there's a minister in China that has over a million people in his tribe that it began by just this family, and they're meeting in different houses in different areas, but they're all connected relationally, just like a natural family is connected relationally.
There are about probably six of those kinds of groups in China where the fathers can be in prison, and they're still the fathers of a million people.
Yeah,
it's a relational, organic. I think family is given to us as a type of how the spiritual works.
Right, right.
And so
Romans 1:20, right? You can look at what God's designed.
Right.
Yeah. Listen, I hate to break in this interview, but guess what? We're going to continue it tomorrow. First, comment below. We love hearing from you. What are your thoughts about what we're sharing? And this is so interesting, isn't it? We can learn from those that have gone before us and even learn from their mistakes, learn from the things that they've experienced, from their testimony. It's just so, so very, very encouraging. And make sure you catch our next program because we're going to pick up the interview where we left off talking specifically about the Holy Spirit. He's the one that's special. We're not special. He uses us. We have to make sure we always keep the focus on the Holy Spirit. We'll be talking also about, is God waiting on us or are we waiting on God? And we're also going to talk about how to be prepared or prep for the coming move of God. And artificial intelligence, believe it or not, we're going to talk about that and how the beast economy is starting to come and persecution is going to happen, but maybe the church is going to be more effective in the West when that happens. And finally, what is the key to surviving during these difficult times? That's right, we'll be talking specifically about that. And the key to it, you're going to be finding out, so simple. Stay related and you'll make it through it. We'll talk about all those details, but I want to pray with you before we go. Father God, I just pray right now, blessing over those that are watching, encourage them, inspire them, Father God. We just come against any fear. We just pray for wisdom, God. You said that we are to follow your Spirit. I pray for Spirit-led hearts and minds, Father God. Begin to follow the Spirit, Father God. I just pray, I want to interrupt this prayer right now. I want to tell you right now, we have a special abiding plan for you for free, for free. You need to begin to abide with the Lord. He says, you'll abide with me, and my word abides with you. You'll survive this thing. Go to iabide.org and request your simple plan today. It's iabide.org, and we'll send it right to you in your email. You get started learning how to hear the Spirit and the voice of God. Father God, I just pray a blessing over their abiding time. Encourage them, inspire them in Jesus' name. And dear God, we ask you, end abortion, send revival, send a third grade awakening, we pray in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God, love others, and lead others to the same. And we'll see you in the VFNKB community. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.